That year, a century and a half ago, the Metropolitan Museum of Art first opened in New York City in February. In November, American suffragist Susan B. Anthony cast her vote for U.S. president and was promptly arrested. English composer Rayfawn Williams was born, and Mary Somerville, the first female member of the Royal Astronomical Society, died. Welcome to Velocity of Content. I'm Christopher Keneally for CCC. Also in 1872, American publishers, wishing to keep booksellers and librarians informed of forthcoming titles, began a new periodical. Soon known as the Publishers Weekly, the magazine has since chronicled the arrival of hundreds of thousands of books, as well as the comings and goings of many publishing concerns, all over an estimated 700,000 pages. In May 2021, Publishers Weekly launched the U.S. Book Show, an online showcase of the latest books and most popular authors, which returns this month. In 2010, George Slowik purchased Publishers Weekly with his late partner, Patrick Turner. He joins me today from New York City. Welcome to the program, George, and congratulations on PW's milestone year.
Thank you, Chris. Delighted to be here and happy to be representing PW.
Well, we're happy you can do that, and on this very special occasion as well, the 150th anniversary of the first publication of what has become the Bible of the book business. And in aspiring to be in that role, how does PW try to balance the differing, even competing interests of all the various parts of your audience, the audiences, publishers, booksellers, authors?
It's a challenge. It's one of the fascinating aspects of Publishers Weekly in that we do cover the horizon of publishing and traditionally had covered from agent through to bookseller or librarian, so reseller. When I bought the magazine in 2010, and courtesy of all things electronic, we actually extended the audience on both ends to more broadly service authors themselves, and then also consumers, that is, you know, readers. And so that made it even more difficult, but at least electronic allows you to do a variety of things. So we have a number of newsletters and a number of products that service individual components of our readership, with an eye always towards trying to make sure everyone has a full plate.
As you point out, George, PW began as a publication for the trade, but with the arrival of the web, your audience has grown to include readers and the public. So what have they brought to the conversation?
It's really a wonderful time in terms of the feedback loop. You know, in days of yore, I was publisher in the late 80s, early 90s, working for Reed. In fact, I acquired Publishers Weekly for Reed. I was part of the team that made that acquisition. And, you know, getting one letter was a big deal. It was like, oh, my God, what have we done? Now you can be flooded rather quickly with feedback, good and bad. And it keeps you on your toes. And it's made the conversation and then the fact that we can have a dialogue makes everything, I think, more crisp and more interesting.
And the special edition of the magazine, which was guest edited by Michael Coffey, a former co-editorial director, focuses on the last 25 years, the period from 1997 to today. And of all the many changes we've seen in that period of time, what's the most heartening one for you?
I think it is all things electronic. You know, in 2010, there were the Chicken Littles running around saying, oh, it's the end of the book, not unlike times when radio began or TV or CD-ROMs or, you know, even distribution in books in department stores was meant to kill bookstores. So all things electronic have really opened us up to a much broader audience, both in the trade and with consumers. We are still a trade publication, though. I mean, and our primary purpose is to service the industry of book publishing.
It's interesting to hear you say the digital revolution has done you good. It's done a good turn for PW. But I want to ask you about the book business, or PW for that matter. What are some worrisome trends that you see?
I think the continued consolidation is a challenge. is born out of economics. And the large houses do try to keep internal competition going. And it's natural because a book is not a commodity that you can just, you know, put out SKUs. Someone has to read it, first of all, and then, you know, the work begins of editing and design and enhancing the approach of the book. And so that dynamic is all the more vigorous when you have ease of communication in a more fluid manner between the originator of the text and the end user. And the end user, the reader, does in fact often impact content, at least for future books.
And the special edition, which does focus, as we say, on the period from 1997 to today, has to acknowledge the fact that there are fewer newspapers publishing book reviews, certainly than in 1997, and probably fewer than ever in the past. And I wonder whether that means that PW reviews matter more than ever.
I think they do. They serve a purpose that's quite different than, say, what one can receive on the web broadly. You know, particularly in this time of disinformation and alternate facts and Lord knows what, you know, to have an imprimatur of Publishers Weekly that's credible and trustworthy and consistent. Is valuable to those who come to rely on the point of view. Because no matter what role you play within the industry, you can't very well consume all the products that it produces in a year, and certainly not these days with self-publishing, you know, publishing more than a million books just here in the States.
Industry news coverage certainly has changed in the last quarter century as well. And PW reporters today compete with Twitter and social media of all kinds. So has that changed what you cover at PW and how?
It has. You know, to be in a world of 24/7, 365, and maybe down to 60-second, you know, news, it's hard to do breaking news and more important to do context. So what, you know, in newspaper parlance was called a second day story, where you got deeper into the implications of that breaking news, because it's virtually impossible to break a piece of news, because generally the originator of that news, the author, is going to break it themselves. And, you know, the porous nature of all things electronic, there are more people with early access to books than ever before, and more people opining as they see fit about, you know, individual titles and the authors and their lives. And it's so much broader that I think that, you know, we've had to change our news coverage, most notably. The reviews are still pretty much the way they were in terms of being a finite resource, you know, that publishers can use early on and that booksellers and librarians can rely on to select books and now consumers. We broadly license our reviews, so you'll find them en masse in, you know, the Amazon environment, the Google environment with Apple, et cetera, and all the library products. The reviews are there. And there's probably more than 500,000 primary reviews now that relate to close to a couple million products, because there's an audio, there's a large print, there's a paperback, there's an international edition. And so just that linkage provides more readership to the reviews.
And George Slowick, you referred to the reviews in PW as a resource for readers, for librarians, and for editors and other authors even. Another really important resource is the U.S. Book Show, which began last year in 2021 and returns this year on May 23rd for 4 days of author interviews, as well as roundtable discussions with editors and industry executives. So give us a preview. What can we look forward to?
You know, last year was our first time out, and it was a fairly large learning curve. We sought to fill a gap left by the fact that there wasn't a live show in the U.S. And a few years prior had tried the New York Rights Fair, focusing specifically on rights. But the U.S. book show is much broader. And the interaction between the authors and editors is really quite satisfying. You don't normally see eight editors from different houses in that kind of Brady Bunch frame with, you know, an editor in the middle arbitrating between them and them having a dialogue with each other about their own books. It's really quite delightful. And the scope of it allows us to, you know, really dig into diversity issues and represent diverse populations and books that are of appeal to them. I mean, by and large, it is all based in the book, if you will. You know, it's title driven. We bring lots of prominent authors and controversial authors to the mix. I'm not even sure which ones I can name at this point because there are various negotiations going on. But last year, we had everyone from Oprah and Liz Warren to Anthony Doerr and Padma Lakshmi and Keanu Reeves and Stevie Van Zandt. So there were, you know, sort of pop type people and then serious authors as well. And not to suggest the others aren't serious, but it's a different sort of product and book that they produce. So the breadth is really quite appealing.
Well, George Slowik, you know, the occasion of the 150th anniversary has been an opportunity to pause and reflect on the past and talk about the present with the U.S. Book Show. But as a way to end our discussion, tell me about what you expect to see PW covering in the future, in the years ahead. Is there an area of the book business you're watching more closely these days? Audiobooks and graphic novels are hot right now. Do you think they'll come to dominate the business?
I don't, actually. I think that, like other categories, they will continue to expand. The beauty of the internet and the global interaction allow titles to move more freely across what were language barriers. Just the fact that you can translate into 56 languages with the push of a button gives access that never existed. It may not be the literary read of the book, but it is an opportunity to explore it. And most people then, you know, convert to buying a book in their own language. But that access, not only by geographic and language diversity, but also by interest group. There is now a pocket of people who care about a particular topic that can access and be published too, you know, that they can be targeted. I was fascinated in the roundup of different stories when the conservative press really reported on how they were no longer gatekeepers, so they could get to their audience directly. And so it is a new element of the book business. I think Publishers Weekly will continue to thrive, both in print and continue to expand electronically with a variety of niche products and doing things like the U.S. Book Show. And we'll continue to add to those 700,000 pages of digital content. The archive is such a fascinating exploration that I'm often caught in that rabbit hole myself, you know, looking up something that occurred to me. Much like I guess we all do with, you know, the Google opportunity. But for the future, I think technology will continue to evolve. Format will continue to evolve. NFTs are the latest play toy that we're exploring and that publishers are beginning to explore. Whether or not that turns into independent products or merely another way of communicating about the books that we have really doesn't matter, because what it's allowing is another way to package content in a way that's enticing to people, and particularly to younger, newer audiences, which I think is a great opportunity for the book business as well. So I don't think any one niche is going to suddenly knock everything out. you know, like graphic novels, they're an interesting and new approach. They'll do very well in NFTs, in my opinion, because they are indeed graphic, but they won't replace the book. You know, we'll be here talking about it in 25 years, hopefully. Well, maybe not me, but, you know, it'll be around.
All right. Well, congratulations again on the 150th anniversary of Publishers Weekly, and here's to the next couple of 100,000 pages.
Thank you.
George Slowick, President, Chairman, and Owner of Publishers Weekly, thanks for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
That's all for now. Our producer is Jeremy Brisky of Burst Marketing. I'm Christopher Keneally for Velocity of Content from CCC.